Hi everyone, welcome to Socialize TV. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a channel where we will be discussing many different topics. This commentary is based on my opinion only. Nothing should be taken as fact or personal. Stay tuned in and let's get started with today's video. Hello everyone, good morning, afternoon, and evening to you wherever you may be. This is another episode of Socialize TV. I've been single now for a little over 2 years, and there have been so many different things that have been very unique to that experience. And I finally, even though I've said it many times, I think I'm for real, where I really think I'm just gonna take a step back from dating altogether in all different kinds of ways at this point in time, because it's just getting to be way too much for me. The good thing about social media is that we're able to have these different discussions about our experiences doing different things and to see if any of the experiences are commonplace, so that there's some type of sense of solidarity between, you know, what you may be experiencing where you live at in the world and what I may be experiencing somewhere in the world. But then at the same time, I feel like social media has been used for all the wrong reasons to create a divide that really doesn't need to split men and women further than what they already are. And there are some people who it's almost like their life's mission to just wreak havoc and cause a problem. And so I'm partly feeling as though there's some rhetoric that I'm hearing quite often that I just want to dispel and break down just how illogical it is, and to give you a different perspective on what you may be hearing. And I'm sure you have an idea of the rhetoric that I'm talking about, particularly the red pill sector of YouTube, the divestment sector of YouTube. If you don't know what any of that is, just look it up. You'll find all the content that there is to find, and the poster boys and poster girls of the subject matter, and you'll be able to figure out quite quickly how it's somewhat problematic for society right now. But in today's topic, I just want to give, really in no particular order whatsoever, the 5 main reasons why I think dating is so toxic right now in 2023. The first one is that I feel as though people take social media way too seriously, and on top of that, nothing is kept private. We have gotten to a point where we just want to share every itty bitty detail of our lives in the guise of, wanting to present ourselves as completely transparent so that we're totally relatable to gain a following. But the problem is that there is no limitation on what is private and what isn't. Everything is posted on the internet, and with that amount of information just voluntarily being given in the wrong hands, a lot could be done with it that could be really detrimental, and I don't think that's something that people really think about. I'll just give a small example. Say you've been working really, really hard at a job that you really didn't like, and you've been trying to save money to buy a new car, for example, and you finally get the new car and you post it on social media, but the license plate number is clearly visible on the car. There's a lot of information that can be pulled from a tag number in a picture. And a person can easily figure out where you live, who the car is licensed to, what state it's licensed to. And if you have a really observant person, they can even possibly figure out what area you like to frequent in just based off of the information that they can notice within the background of that picture of where you took your car. Another thing, if you take selfies and you are in your work clothes, obviously they can figure out where you work at without you even having to say it. There are just so many different things, and I don't think people think about it. And who knows, there are some people who probably don't even care, but for somebody who is really private, there are certain things that I do my best to try not to disclose of because I just don't want that kind of problem. Stalkers do exist. People who feel like they know everything about you can tend to get very obsessive with you, and it can just snowball into a really dangerous situation. So it's something that can start off as innocent and harmless, and it may not even be something that you think about. But quite honestly, I would get in the habit of not feeling the need to post every little thing. In addition to that, putting your locations on the photos that you take, checking in to places on Facebook, putting certain tags on Instagram posts. I mean, honestly, there's just so many different things that can allow you to be tracked, and it's information that you put up. No one forces you to do those things. That's self-inputted information. So just keep that in mind as you do your thing on social media and how that can potentially be a not so good thing. Diverting back to the initial point, people take social media way too seriously. I've always thought it was strange to have a concept of a following, and we label it a following for social media, as if it's a reference, at least to me. When I hear the word following, I think of Jesus and his disciples. That's the first thing that I associate with when I hear something like called a following. And so it indirectly has created this narcissism in people to make them feel as though they are important enough to be followed and to be studied and to be tracked with every little thing that they do. And to be quite honest, it's not necessary or realistic. I don't want to know what you're doing every single day, where you're going, what food you have for all of your meals, where you're going at on a weekend. I don't really care. But there are some people who do, because there are some people who want to live vicariously through other people because their lives are too busy and their lives look a certain way. So when they see someone that essentially is living the reality that they want, that becomes their idol. And so they want to mimic everything that their idol is doing, because in their mind, they made the association, well, if this person did it this way and got this result, then surely it will work the same way for me. Not necessarily. So I would first question, like, why do you quote unquote follow some of the people that you do, and how consuming is it in your life? Because if it's too consuming, then you may want to reevaluate the time that you're putting into social media, when you can be investing the same amount of time in your own life and actually live within reality and not on the internet through the screen of a phone. But because people want to get a sense of self-worth from social media and the validation and the attention, it time and time again hurts relationships, because nothing is private. I'm not saying that it's wrong to every now and again post a picture of you and your significant other going on a date looking cute. I'm not saying that's the worst thing in the world, but it's like, okay, we get it. You're in a relationship. Cool. Now go and be happy. It's like, we don't need a documentation of the entire relationship except for the milestones. So like, say you get engaged, you get married, you have kids, that's a little different. But even still, it's like, save some of that for your relationship in real life. Like, everything doesn't have to be on the internet. And most of the time, when you put all of these things on the internet, it leaves room for scrutiny. You're going to have opinionated people. You're going to have people who are going to have something to say about the relationship, say something about your significant other, say something about you, say something about looks, all different kinds of things. And that can get to anybody. That's any reasonable person can be affected by the opinions of another person, especially if it's somebody that they don't know. And it's coming from almost a pure place, because they don't have any bias that would make them say certain things. They're just going by off of what they see purely. So I think that's why it stings the most. You know, like, you have a lot of guys, for example, who choose not to post certain women that they are in a relationship with because they're worried about what other people got to say about how she looks and what he may perceive as a flaw is based off of what society says is a flaw. So this already putting, you know, his girlfriend in a box that she really doesn't deserve to be put in, because she's her own unique person. But he knows how social media works, and he knows how people who use social media work. So it can end up being a really innocent thing by posting a picture of them two together, and that can end up being a war in the comment section based off of what people are picking apart about that picture. It literally can get that extreme. And it's unfortunate how you have people who are just mean and cruel like that, but it's the world we live in. You just have to be so cognizant of everything that you do. And people are very quick to take a picture and record everything. So even if you're just living your life and doing the most innocent of things, you never know who may be having their phone ready and may be watching you. And next thing you know, you're going viral on TikTok, or now you're a meme on Facebook for absolutely no reason. It happens a lot. So it's sad how, you know, it just depending on the couple and depending on individuals who are in a relationship, social media can really cause a problem. It definitely can cause a problem. Even with people you know, like it's not even just strangers. It can be your family members. It can be your siblings. It could be friends of your friends or your mutual friends that the two of you share together. Could be a source of drama. It can be so many different things. And so, yeah, social media and just involving social media in the equation, or just having it a variable present in your relationship, can definitely be problematic, and it's something to consider. I don't think there's anything wrong with not ever going public about it on social media about your relationship. Like, as long as you two know you're together, that's all that's required. You know, it's like, as long as you make that commitment to that person, you don't need to scream it to the world, because you're living your actual relationship out in real life. You don't need to, you know, get all this external validation from social media. It can just be a source of drama that doesn't even have to take place. So it's just unfortunate that, you know, this is just one of those obstacles when dating, because you may be the type of person where you use social media, but you just don't take it that seriously, but you can end up being in a relationship with somebody who does. Or worst case scenario, you can get in a relationship with somebody where their career is on social media. They're a public figure, and or they're a social media influencer, or they're a content creator. And so you kind of have no choice but to be involved. So that's something to think about when dating and looking for somebody. You may be too private for their lifestyle, and if that doesn't work for you, that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying otherwise, but that's just me. The second reason why I feel dating is toxic in 2023 is that you have people who have a lot of personal and mental issues that go unaddressed. We all are gonna come with some kind of baggage. It is what it is. There are small degrees of it, there are large degrees, and then there are some people who have issues that cascade on top of other issues that are all connected somehow. They're interwoven together. They have a blanket of issues. It is what it is. But I do feel as though it can be a problem when, depending on what those issues are, and they're not being actively addressed, that potential relationship is doomed to fail from the beginning. One conversation that has been extremely prevalent on social media is how to identify what a narcissist is, talking about different personality disorders. While yes, bring awareness, you know, the regular everyday person who is not a psychological expert should have the information available to them to figure out what this kind of thing is. I think that's a good thing that we're doing that, but at the same time, sometimes things can get lost in context, and things kind of lose their meaning, or the meaning changes just a little bit. And sometimes I feel like, not, you know, calling somebody a narcissist can sometimes be out of place when really they're bipolar, or really they're just manipulative and not all this other stuff. So it's important to be able to kind of draw the line to say, like, okay, this is just this issue and not something else. But that can get kind of complicated. But at the end of the day, you get to a certain age where you have to take accountability for why you are the way that you are. Yes, there are some things that are going to be out of your control. You can't control how another person treats you. You can't make somebody love you, and you can't make your parents be the parents you feel like they should have been to you. Those are things out of your control. However, be all of that as it may, where do you move forward from that point? Because at a certain point, you have to take control of your own life and say, you know, for example, like, hey, I know my father hasn't been in my life and it's been a struggle for me, but it's like, but what as a man can I do to not be an example of my father? Because I don't feel like he was a good example of what a man should be. So it's like, what am I going to do different that was different from what my father did to be a better example? That could just be one thing that you could think about. Another thing is, if you have dated certain types of people and you've learned that it is really dysfunctional for you to be in a relationship with that type of individual, then you can say to yourself, what am I doing, or what is it about me that maybe is attracting those types of people to me? Not that that is necessarily 100% your control, but something to think about where you see patterns and it's like, okay, well, what is the source of those patterns? Because if I can eliminate the source, then I may be able to get rid of the problem. For example, if you are in the kitchen and you start seeing ants, you have to look for, well, what is bringing the ants into the kitchen in the first place? Is there a crumb somewhere that I don't know about that they are gravitating to? Maybe I should watch the ants and maybe figure out what the issue is. Because if I can get rid of the crumb, then the ants will have a reason to be in the kitchen. It's that kind of thing. And I know that sounds really simple, but sometimes it can be that simple where you just gotta think to yourself, what is the source of this problem, and then address it. But all of those things that I've described just fall under the umbrella of accountability. And a lot of people just don't have that ability to take accountability. They want to be the victim all the time. And sometimes there is no victimhood to be in. Some things are just a result of bad decision making. And we can give ourselves a little bit of grace when it comes to that because we're all trying to figure it out. We don't come with an instruction manual that says, oh, you know, do this way and you'll never have a problem. There's some things you don't figure out until it's trial and error. So, you know, give yourself a little bit of grace there in that case. But yeah, it's some things it's like, you know, yeah, I could have done that differently, but I can't go back in time and change it. You know, I can only move forward from here. So just understand that accountability is very important if you want success in a relationship. And most of what I talked about is personal and self accountability. There's also a level of accountability that needs to take place in relationships where the two of you may hurt and offend each other. And so then it's like, how do you effectively communicate and say, oh, you know, what you said or did hurt me, and I want you to hear me, acknowledge my feelings, and then express to me your perspective, And then we could talk about that perspective, maybe meet somewhere in the middle, find some common ground, and then make a plan to move forward from here. That's generally how that conversation should go. But yeah, people where it's like they never do anything wrong, or you're just imagining things, or it didn't happen that way like you think it did, or you have no reason to be upset. People will find reasons to demean and gaslight your perspective, and you have to watch out for people like that, because you articulating that there's an issue lets them know that you know that there's an issue. And sometimes people do things and hoping that you don't even notice, but you do, and you're bringing it up, which you should. Always speak up for yourself when you can. Holding in emotions and bottling up emotions is never good, because over time, resentment builds. And anger and frustration and hurt builds, and it's only going to be a volcano eruption from there. So I would say, if possible, address things when it happens. That way, you could talk about it civilly, and hopefully you're dealing with somebody mature enough who can handle a real conversation. But in general, I would say any reasonable person could tell that if they're dealing with an individual that has a lot of quote-unquote baggage and childhood trauma and past relationship hurt and all this other type of stuff, you may be coming into their life at the wrong time. They may not, even though they desire to have you and to have companionship, they may not be capable of meeting all of your needs, spiritual, emotional, physical, so forth and so on. And that's okay. But just understand that all of those experiences affect people differently. So while, let's just say, for example, you're seeing someone and they're a single parent and you're a single parent, the circumstances that made you a single parent may be different from the circumstances that made your partner or your significant other a single parent. And let's just say they are different. That is gonna mold and shape their parenting ideology to make it much different from yours. And you have to accept that difference. You can't then all of a sudden try to be convertist, if that's a word, and make them think like you when they didn't have the same experiences as you. So it's already impossible for them to think like you. The foundation is not even the same. So that's something to consider. Again, kind of, going back to the source of the problem. It's like, what caused this person to be who they are? And once you understand that, things will make a lot more sense. So, yeah, everybody's different. So, you know where your boundary is with that. And I would say really stick to it, because it just could be a thing of it's just the wrong time. Doesn't necessarily mean that that person is a bad person, but they just not be right for you. So, yeah. It's just never good when you have a person who just has a lot of unresolved issues, because that means that in some way they are unstable, and you can't really do anything with a person that's not stable. That can be a really toxic situation. So that's something to consider when you're vetting your next partner. Third reason why dating is so toxic in 2023 is that most people are using dating apps or putting themselves on a dating market as a form of escapism. What do I mean by this? Essentially, you have people who are in relationships. They're not single. They're either married or in a long-term relationship. most of the time, more often than not, are also cohabitating with a person and they're having problems. All types of problems. It could be financial problems, it could be sexual problems. Most of the time, those two, really the trifecta is this: the emotional problems, the physical, in other words, the sexual problems, and the financial problems. If you have any of those three, or a combination of two of the three, or worst case, all three going on at the same time, you are going to find an individual who is looking for an out, but may not break up with that person because they benefit from being in that relationship still. And you may be completely single, you're on an app, you're trying to put yourself out there, and you run into this person and you really like them and you're feeling them and you're building a connection, but they tell you it's complicated. Oh, it's definitely complicated, all right. And that is never a situation you want to get yourself in. Don't willingly sign up to be the side chick. I've done that before, and that was against my better judgment, I admit. But let me tell you, no matter what you do, it's like you gotta understand the purpose that you're serving in a situation like that. And really, I realize that can be a topic and a discussion all by itself. Escapism in relationships. That may be a topic that I do next. So possibly stay tuned for that. But I'll talk about it briefly here. When you are someone's side piece, basically, you are serving a very specific purpose. And the purpose is to serve that person, and that is it. They don't care about meeting your needs. Some may not even care what your needs are. As long as you are serving them in some way, that's all that matters. And so what can happen is that you can get so emotionally invested thinking that something's going to change, thinking that they're going to get a divorce, thinking that they're going to break up. But you gotta understand, there is a reason why, despite how unhappy they are telling you they are in their relationship while they are still with them. There's something that they benefit, and you can't provide that benefit. You are a supplement to that. And when they feel as though what they already have is good enough, they don't need to have you anymore because they're sufficient in what they have. So I'll put it like this: if it's on the sexual aspect and you're talking to a guy and let's just say he and his wife haven't had sex in a long time. Let's just say it's been like 6 months since they had sex, and now he wants to have sex, and now he wants to have sex with you because he's attracted to you, and you've made it known that you'd be willing to have sex with him because you're attracted to him also. As soon as his wife starts being interested in having sex with him again, he is no longer going to need to be having sex with you. Or if he's just one of those greedy men, he'll want to have sex with you and his wife. But there are other factors that may affect that. For example, let's just say that's the foundation of the situation. Another variable into that is, let's just say it's a thing of she's not able to have children, but you may be. If he wants children, he may have that conversation with you because you're able to have children. But even if, let's just say the two of you agree crazily enough to have a child, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to leave his wife. Because this is what happens. If he has a kid with you, that kid's really going to be your responsibility. The care that he personally needs is going to come from his wife, and that's going to be more important, really, than him being a father. And so it's like he's gonna want to keep his wife around more than he's gonna want to be having a family with you, even though he told you that's how it was gonna be. But it may not be convenient. And so that's why you're kind of off on the side and only see him at certain times when he lives the rest of his life normally with his wife. So that can get really messed up and complicated. And that's just one scenario. There are dozens of scenarios that people have involved themselves in with other people who were not single. And it just ended up being a huge mess. And all of that could have been avoided if right then and there, as soon as you found out they weren't single or that they were involved, you should have cut that off right then and there. I should have done it. And I didn't. And it was annoying. And so I realized I'm selling myself short doing that. And you are too. There are so many other people who don't have involvements that you can be with and pursue and everything else. Like it's nice when you have somebody who's available. Just don't involve yourself in that. Don't participate in somebody's escapism. 'Cause here's the thing that they're telling you about them that they don't even realize. What they're showing you is that as soon as there's an issue, they're gonna run to an outside source. They're not even gonna talk to you or work it out with you. They will much rather cheat and do everything else except address the problem. And so that should let you know, like, that's a person you can't really trust. So keep that in mind. That's toxic, and that's the one thing you can control is whether you want to be involved, and I don't recommend that you do. The fourth reason why dating is toxic in 2023 is that people want attention so bad, but they're not willing to reciprocate anything that's given to them. I could just chop this up as people just are selfish. People want to feel so important, and the only way they'll feel important is if everybody else around them feels less than. It's literally that simple. You can't fix a person like that. They have to understand, they have no touch of reality when that is their attitude. And it'll be nothing that you can do that will be good enough for them. All they'll do is just take from you and take from you and never pour back into you. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel drained. You're going to feel resentful. And you are going to not look at that person in a positive light because it's like they're taking everything from you. And it may not even be anything you think is valuable, but to a selfish person, anything that requires effort that they don't want to give is considered valuable. So if, for example, let's just say you're a generous person and you don't mind spending money on somebody you care about, but they're very, very cheap. They're going to appreciate that about you. That they're going to consider that a virtue because they know they have no intention on reciprocating that generosity back to you. They just want to be on a receiving end. So when you realize that there are people like that, they're not going to be good for you because you're going to end up losing so much more long term than you would probably initially. And if you value yourself and your money and your time and your energy and your peace of mind, then I would suggest not getting involved with people like that. Because they're always going to be looking for a source of validation. And that can come from social media, that can come from the people they work with, somebody other than you. And that's a competition that you're always going to lose in. And you're selling yourself short with that as well. You don't have to be somebody's doormat and then feel like, oh, well, if I just lay here long enough, they'll realize, this is hurting me. No, they won't. As long as you are willingly there, they're going to walk over you. They're only going to not walk over you until you remove yourself from that position. That's the only way it'll change. So, yeah, people want to give only what they can take. So it's like, and that's if they want to reciprocate. But most people would rather not reciprocate. So, yeah. So people are either going to be tit for tat, or they're just going to be all tiff, if that's the thing. But either way, it's toxic, and don't involve yourself with people like that. The last and final reason why I think dating is so toxic in 2023 is that everybody is the same. There's no uniqueness. Everybody wants to be a carbon copy. They are going to dress the same, act the same, go to the same places, have the same amount of fun. There is no uniqueness anymore, and that is totally a social media issue. And it's hard for people who stand out and who think differently, who dress differently, to find people like themselves, because everybody else is the same. And so being unique is what I feel is gonna give longevity to your relationship, because when you go outside of the group, you can think for yourself. You're gonna do what's best for you, and you're not gonna be easily convinced to do something that may not be a good thing. And that's a better person to be involved with. If you just don't care about that kind of thing, then do what your heart desires. I mean, it is what it is. But me personally, I would want somebody who is themselves, who has their own personality, their own style, and their own way of thinking. And nowadays, that's so hard to find. People don't want to be bullied and made fun of for being different, but actually, it's a reverse psychology. The people who are making fun of you for being different are the same people who wish they could be you. They wish they could be different. They wish they could dress like that and be confident. They wish they could have that opinion, and even when somebody doesn't agree with them, they still feel the way that they feel. Like, people who try to really insult you are the main ones who want to be you. It's really interesting how that works. And so, don't let people change who you are. Don't let bad relationships and bad experiences change you. You are who you are, and it's for a reason, and it's a good thing, because it's rare to find. Also, too, when it's easy to find a thing, or there's an abundance of a thing, it doesn't really have any value. The only time something really has a value is if it's hard to find. So you essentially have more value when you're not like everybody else. So that's something to keep in mind. I'll conclude with this. I personally have concerns about dating and relationships in the future, because more and more people are giving up. More and more people are saying, you know what, I don't want to have a family, I don't want to get married, I don't want to do anything. Dealing with people is just too much. And just from my own personal experience, that's just how I feel right now at 30. I don't want nothing to do with it. It's too exhausting. Life is already hard as it is. I don't need to involve myself with somebody and essentially make it worse. I know that everybody is not like that, and that things just take time, but it is so frustrating when you just keep running into the same issue over and over and over again, and the only thing that changes is the person in front of you. So it's really toxic right now, and I just say to you, be vigilant, ask the questions that you need to ask, If something's a red flag or makes you feel uneasy, it's for a reason, and listen to your gut feeling. And it's nothing wrong with being alone. There are a lot of benefits to being alone. And I know that at the end of the day, we want that special person and we want that companionship, but it comes at a cost. And the thing I ask of you is how much you're willing to pay. And sometimes giving up peace of mind and your freedom is too expensive of a sacrifice. That concludes tonight's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was helpful to you. If you like it, share with your friends. Like and follow the Facebook page so that you can stay posted on when new episodes come out. And like and subscribe to the channel across all platforms where you can listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for your continued support on this channel. It really means a lot to me. And I will see you in my next one. Bye-bye and so long.